The Gospel according to Luke. While they were talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened, and why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written, that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
Amen. You may be seated. I was working as a chaplain at the Baylor Breast Imaging Center in 2013 when a gentleman had come in and asked that I sit with his wife as she waited for a mammogram screening. He mentioned to me that she had dementia, and so she might forget from time to time where she was or what she was doing there, and men are not welcome in the waiting rooms, so I gladly agreed to keep his wife company. I sat with this man's wife for just shy of half an hour or so, and occasionally I had to remind her that I was the chaplain, that she was at Baylor, and that she was in for a routine screening. I tried to engage her in conversation, but I learned quickly that that's not an easy thing to do with someone who has memory loss. How many kids do you have? Where are you from? What are you doing after this? These are all simple questions that we take for granted being able to answer. It was my first encounter with someone with dementia, so I admit that I was ill-equipped to be of any real help. So I sat there, rather helpless, and eventually I gave up trying to make conversation, and I just decided that I would be present. I'd just be there, and when she got confused, I'd remind her where she was, and I would assure her that her husband was just on the other side of the waiting room doors. We sat in silence for a good while, and then I'll never forget, suddenly she lifted her hands, and she looked at them for several seconds, and then she turned them over, palms facing up, and she looked at them a little longer. And then she turned them back over and stared at them one more time. And then she said out loud to me or to herself, I'm not sure, but she said, "Whose hands are these? Sometimes I don't recognize my own hands. They seem far too old to be mine." Let's pray. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Why are you frightened, and why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet and see that it is I myself. I find it peculiar in our gospel lesson for today that Jesus points to his hands and his feet as a means of identifying himself. There he stands in front of his doubtful disciples, and instead of saying, "Look at my face," or "Don't you hear my voice? Can't you tell that it's me?" he says, "Look at my hands and look at my feet." Isn't it strange that this is where he directs their attention to first? I'm sure, yes, they were marked by his wounds, but it's still a little odd to me that he'd use his hands and his feet as an initial means of identification. This all got me thinking this week. Could we identify each other by our hands and our feet? Hands and feet are usually not the first things we notice about each other, and yet they're very telling about who we are. I was thinking about my own hands. I have long, slender fingers, which I've been told is suitable for piano playing, but unfortunately, after 10 years of lessons, I never did get very good at the piano. I have a scar between my left thumb and my pointer finger, which I've had since early elementary school. I'm not sure where it came from, but it's always been there. My hands are calloused from recent rock climbing ventures and years of high school tennis. I have a writer's bump on my right middle finger because I hold writing utensils so tightly. I actually can't draw with crayons because I break them within seconds from what my mom calls a death grip. I wear my wedding ring on my left hand, and on my right hand, I wear two rings that hold the birthstones of my children. I have a habit of popping my fingers. It's something I picked up in the third grade, and 22 years later, I'm still doing it. Sometimes it's just out of pure habit. Other times it's a trademark of my insecurities or my anxious nerves. You see, as it turns out, there's a lot you could learn about me from my hands. And I think I could identify many of you by your hands. I serve them weekly at these communion rails. There are those of you whose hands represent a longer life, and you know something about the cost of the bread that you take. Then there's my son, one of our younger members, whose hands are still so full of innocence and naivety, he is yet to understand the pain behind the bread that we share. I read this week that our hands don't lie. They simply can't. We can usually exercise some control over our faces. We can make them tell a different story than the feelings that we hold inside. We can change our faces, make them look the way that we want them to. But our hands will always tell the truth about who we really are. A dear friend of mine lost his father to cancer almost 10 years ago. He shared with me this week that after his father passed, he lay next to him in bed and placed his father's hand in his own hand. His father's hand were marked with years of labor. He spent a good part of his life cutting trees and loading wood in his truck so their house could stay warm throughout the winter months. He was an electrician for 3 decades, so he had incredible finger strength from years of manipulating hand tools. His hands were big and strong, tough enough to endure hours on end of turning a screwdriver and holding steady pliers, yet gentle enough to carry my friend to bed when he fell asleep. As his dad grew sicker, he could no longer cut wood, could no longer manage his hand tools, could no longer hold a fork. His muscles atrophied and his hands couldn't perform the way they used to. As my friend lied in bed next to his deceased dad, hand in hand, he realized that they had the same hands. Turns out my friend's hands continue to tell the story of his father because they look the same. Same size, same color, same freckling. He said it was as if he was holding his own hand against a mirror. Why are you frightened? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I, myself. Sure, Jesus' hands and feet were marked with the nails from the cross, but they also were marked by more than just nails. Think of his hands. These were the same hands that broke bread among the disciples. These were the hands that multiplied the loaves and fish to feed the 5,000. These were the hands that made mud from the earth and healed a blind man. These were the hands that flung about as he preached and taught the crowds. These were the hands of a carpenter, hands that built things. These were the hands that welcomed the little children. These were the hands that took hold of Peter when he began to drown. These were the hands that reached out and touched the leper and made him clean. And yes, these were the hands that were outstretched and pierced by nails. And now consider his feet. These were the feet that Mary knelt at while her sister Martha was too busy working. These were the feet that the hemorrhaging woman reached for as she grabbed the hem of his garment, desperate for healing. These were the feet that the sinful woman lavishly wept upon and dried with her hair. These were the feet she kissed many times and rubbed with perfume. These were the feet that carried him hundreds of miles so he could preach the good news and inaugurate a new kind of kingdom here on earth. And yes, these were the feet that were held together by a nail as he was affixed to a cross. Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I, myself. There they were. His hands and his feet, still marked by his wounds, testifying to the truth that Christ didn't go around pain, but right through it. Even after his resurrection, his hands and feet continued to tell the story of who he was, and we know what they said about him. But what do ours say about us? Take a moment, if you would, while you're still fortunate enough to recognize your own hands. And look at the tops of them. Now turn them over and look at your palms. What story do they tell? What story do you want them to tell? Will they be hands that were outstretched to meet the needs of those less fortunate than you? Will they be hands that choose to remain open to receive, or will they stay clenched out of fear? Will they be hands that labor for God's kingdom? Will they be hands that rest when it's time to rest? And your feet, what story do they tell? What story do you want them to tell? Will they carry you as you too seek to proclaim the good news? Will they labor for God's kingdom? Will they hold the burdens of your brothers and sisters? Will they work tirelessly for justice? And will they rest when it's time to rest? Jesus ends our gospel reading, reminding us all that we are witnesses of these things. My friends, when the world wants to know who Jesus is, they won't look to our faces. They will look to our hands and our feet. And what stories will they tell? What story do you want them to tell? Amen.